Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
It's wonderful to be here with you today, and it's always great to be here in NC4 Church. A big hello to everybody over there in Macungie. I'm going to try to talk to you, and I'm going to try to talk to you. So if I talk there, it means I'm talking to them, right? Are you with me here? And I'll be talking to you as well. So it's great to be here with you today. And well, honor where honor is due. We really do thank God for your pastors, Jack and Trish. They are some of the greatest encouragers that I know. And I'm going to tell you something. When you've got great pastors, you ought to cherish them. And you ought to really appreciate them. Because they are great, great people. Do you agree with that, NC4? They're great people. And we honor Jack and Trish. And just before I get to a little bit of teaching this morning, I would love you to pray for us, actually. We are, I'm originally from Ireland, as you can probably tell from my accent. But we are ministering in England. We are pioneering churches over there. We pioneered a church about 4 years ago in a town called Loughborough. It's right in the middle of England, big university town. And we've got what looks to be like a little touch of, I don't know, a little touch of revival going on there. Most of our church are new to faith. Most of them are in their 20s. So we've got a bunch of young people in our church. What does all that mean? It means we don't have any money. But sure, the Lord's grace is enough for us, isn't it? And then just last Sunday night, we've pioneered another, what we call a campus, just like Macungie. Well, we've pioneered another campus in a city called Leicester, which is a really fascinating city. It's one of the most multicultural cities in our nation of Britain. If I tell you that there are as many mosques in that city as there are churches, that gives you an idea of what that city is like. And we're going down there to reach people with the good news of Jesus. And so we would really love you to just keep us in your prayers as we reach people for Christ. You can follow us on the social media things, Instagram. How many of you are on Instagram? Put your hand up if you're on Instagram. Put your hand up. Oh, you need to get with it. I love the filters. I think they're from God, personally. I really do. I need them. I need filters, you know, especially first thing in the morning, you know. But you can follow us on Instagram there, Roy_Todd, and follow what we're doing over there in England and keep praying for us. Every time you see me there, we'd love you to keep praying for us. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes this morning, and I've got a title to my message, very sophisticated. Here's my title. Ready? You need some crazy friends. Well, you turn to your neighbor and say, you need some crazy friends. And everybody in Macungie do the same thing. You need some crazy friends. All right. Now, let me just clarify that just for a moment, right? Okay. I'm not talking about crazy friends who lead you into, you know, if you get somebody at the end of this message this morning and says, hey, come on, let's rob a bank for Jesus, you've missed the point of the message, okay? I'm not talking about those kinds of crazy friends, but I'm talking about crazy friends who stretch your faith. We all need some friends like that, right? We all need some friends who challenge our lives, who challenge our giving, who stretch us, who provoke us. Some people in life are anointed, and some people are annoying. And sometimes I'm not sure what the difference between the two are, because the anointing does provoke, doesn't it? It provokes us to greater levels of faith and expectation and so on. Now, I want to read a scripture to you, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and we're going to read about some crazy friends. Let's not sanitize this. Let's really try to get gritty and real in the scripture just for a minute or two this morning. So I'm going to read the scripture to you. We'll make an observation or two on it, and then we'll get down to business, and we'll pray for people to be healed and it's all got to be done by 11:30 a.m. My gosh. Anyway, we'll give it our best shot. Here we go. Mark chapter 2, verses should be on the screen. A few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Verse 3, some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Verse 6, now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take up your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, take your mat. Sorry, he said, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. What a statement. And he got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of all of them, and this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. I repeat, you need some crazy friends. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to make six observations on this. I'm just going to get straight to it. Six little thoughts on this passage from the Bible this morning on the kinds of crazy friends you need in your life. Number one, you need some crazy friends who bring you closer to Jesus. That's exactly what happened here in this passage. Four friends, actually it was more than four, but four carried the paralytic man. They brought him to Jesus, Mark chapter 2, verse 3. They brought him to Jesus. Hey, if you're going to bring somebody who's in need anywhere, you might as well bring them to Jesus, right? If you've got somebody in your life and they are in need, the best person that you can bring them to is to Jesus. That's what good friends do. Good friends bring you closer to Jesus. Stands to reason then that not good friends, bad friends is the politically incorrect term. Bad friends are the kind of people that take you away from Jesus. Beware of distractions. Beware of distractions. Beware of those people who will try to take you away from Jesus and away from God's house. Beware of them. Watch out for them. They are distractions, weapons of mass distraction that the devil is trying to throw in your way. Because you don't need friends like that. You don't need friends who take you away from Jesus. You need crazy friends who have the audacity to get as close to Jesus as it's possible to get. It's exactly what these men did in Mark chapter 2. That's the kind of friends that all of us need in our lives. People who bring us closer to Jesus. People who serve Jesus. People who love Jesus. I remember when I came from Ireland to England to study at college, and I had no confidence when I was in my teens. I didn't have any confidence. I'm naturally an introvert, believe it or not. And came to England, scared. Ireland's a kind of a small island. There's only 5 million people live in the whole island of Ireland, whereas there's 60 million people in the UK. And so I went to college, and I wanted to get around some people who loved Jesus. And there was this one guy, and I have to be honest with you, at first I didn't like him. He was one of these wacky charismatics. And I was kind of a Pentecostal, conservative Pentecostal. That was my background, you know. Speaking in tongues was about the extent of it, you know, every now and then. And this guy was called Joel. He was a German guy. He was crazy. He was the kind of guy that you would be embarrassed to be beside in a meeting. Who's ever been to church and you bring a guest with you and then something embarrassing happens and you got to go and explain it afterwards? Who's ever been there? And it's fun, isn't it? That's the polite way of saying it. He would be shouting amen. He would be the one who would be dancing. He would dance in the fast songs. He would even dance during the slow songs. He was dancing and he was always passionate and on fire, telling everybody about Jesus. And I didn't like him at first. I thought, he's an extrovert. He's a show-off. And then I hung around this guy for a little bit, and I began to realize that there was a certain authenticity about this guy's craziness. And so I thought, well, I'm going to stay around this. I'm going to hang around this guy. And I did. And after a while, I became crazy. And I began to go out. I got this boldness, this confidence to go out and share my faith and tell people about Jesus. And it was in that process that I got the call of God on my life to serve as an evangelist. You see, you need some crazy people in your life who will provoke you, who will bring you closer to Jesus. And I want to really encourage all of us today to get around people like that. Get around somebody who's closer to Jesus than you are. Don't be the person, and listen to me real careful because I'm preaching good. Don't be that person. I'll do a message on humility the next time I come as well, you know. But don't be that person who is the meter of everybody's needs. You meet everybody's needs, somebody's got a need, you're there. That's good and that's honorable, but you also need to make sure that you get around people who are further on than you, who intimidate you, who even annoy you, because you need that provocation in your heart. And if we can get over all the personality stuff and look at the anointing in somebody's life. And that's the thing about Pastor Jack and I were talking about this morning, how that God uses all kinds of people. God will even use people you don't even like. And God even uses Irish people as well. Amazing that, isn't it? You know. But get around people who are closer to Jesus than you, even if their personality type is not something that you would naturally connect with. And that's what I love about these men here in Mark chapter 2. They were determined to get their friend to Jesus. All we've got to do is get him to Jesus. Something's going to happen. And that's all we've got to do. That's our job as Christians. We've got to get people to Jesus. And this is important. Okay, now here's the second observation. I want you to notice that crazy friends, the kind of people you want to get yourself around, are people who believe for the best and not the worst. Let me say that again. People who believe for the best and not the worst. Mark chapter 2, verse 4. Look at this. Verse should be on the screen, Mark 2, 4. Since they could not get to him because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. They couldn't get to Jesus. So what they could have decided in that moment is, well, let's give up. You know, at least we can say, well, you know, we tried. And then we'll go back home with a little touch of nobility, and we'll think, well, we tried to get him to Jesus, at least we tried. That's good, that's decent, that's honorable. But you see, God is looking for cheeky people, as we would say in Ireland, the cheeky anointing to come upon you. In other words, that anointing that doesn't just give up when everybody else gives up, but that keeps pushing on, that embraces the inconvenience of the moment. These men could have thought, well, there's a lot of people around the house. There's no way we can get our friend to Jesus. Let's just give up. But they kept pushing toward Jesus. This is faith. This is expectation. Don't quit. I want to speak a word of encouragement to everybody in Macungie and everybody here in the Central Campus today. I want to say this. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep praying about it. Pray and pray and then pray some more. And then when you've had enough praying, pray some more. And then when you feel like your prayers are hitting the roof and bouncing back down and hitting on the head, pray some more. Yeah. And pray some more. And then pray some more. My wife and I, we came back home one night from it was a very cold winter's night. And this was a long time ago. And we had this old boiler. I'm not sure if you have this kind of heating system here in America, but in England, they still have this old boiler systems in the homes. And it was like a 30, 40-year-old boiler system. Used to make a lot of noise when it went off. And it was a cold night, very, very freezing cold outside. We got home maybe about midnight. And when we got home, the first thing that I wanted to do was to get some heat going on in the house. So I thought I'll go and switch the boiler on and get the heating working. And just at the moment when I needed the boiler to work, it didn't work. How inconvenient is that? So I did what the man of the house should do. I thought, this is my job, I will fix it. So I began to take it to pieces. I blew on it, because when you don't know what you're doing, if you blow on it, that might work, right? And I'm turning it off and turning it back on again, and you know, putting things in, and you know, and nothing's working. And after 20 minutes of doing this, my wife came in to me and she said, shall we pray about it? Now, come on, let's be honest. Don't you just hate it when spiritual people speak up when you're doing practical things? Don't you hate that? I said, no, I'm not going to pray about it. I'm doing something about it. I don't need to pray about it. And then she said, well, have it your way then. But call me when you need me. So I worked on it for another 20, 30 minutes. In fact, it must have been an hour that I worked on this thing. And after a while, I thought, I've had enough. And my wife came in and she said, right, move over. I'm going to pray about it now. So I said, well, you know, you can waste some time if you want, you know, praying about it and all that. So this is honestly what happened. She put her hand on the boiler, and in her very gentle, she's from England, so she's got a dignity that I don't have. And she said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to work. And I'm standing there like a Pharisee, cynical as anything. And can you believe this? She switched the on button and the boiler came on. Can you believe that? So she's now got a great ministry, healing electrical appliances, boilers. And you know, the Holy Spirit really challenged me in that. There I was trying to do something about it, and we should have prayed about it, even seemingly insignificant things like that. And I want to encourage you, don't give up. These men refuse to give up. We're not stopping until we get our friend to Jesus. We're not going to quit. We're not going to stop. Okay, now, here's observation number three. I've got six. Number three, you need some crazy friends who, number three, if you're taking notes, who embrace inconvenience. Who embrace inconvenience. Mark chapter 2, verse 4, look at this. I mean, we read this and we try to make it sane. There's the error. So since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and they lowered the mat down that the man was lying on. Hang on a second, please. Let's not make something that's insane sane. This is crazy, right? Fellas, what can we do? Well, we can't get into the house. There's so many people around the house. What can we do, fellas? Any ideas? There's a roof. Huh? Yeah, but what about insurance? Well, he should be insured. He should be. It's the law. Right, let's go up onto the roof then. We'll dig a hole. He won't mind. I'm sure he won't mind. The poor owner of the house. I'm thinking at the end of this, everybody's happy, right? You know, Jesus is happy and the disciples are happy and the lame man who's no longer lame, he's happy. The poor owner, the owner. Everybody's leaving. Excuse me, can we take an offering for the roof fund now, can we? We can read this, you see, and we can miss the humanity of it. They tore the roof off. That's the thing. Sometimes when you pursue the miraculous, you've got to do something that maybe you're going to get a little bit misunderstood for. And it's going to cause you inconvenience. And you've got to push through the comfort zone. That's the thing about Christians. You know, a lot of Christians, and I teach our church this all the time. Sometimes we Christians, we just want to be normal, right? We want to be normal. We go into work, and we want to be normal. And I got news for you. You're not normal. You're deluded. That's what you are. You're not called to be normal. When has normal ever made a difference? What normal person has ever changed the world? Now, I'm not saying go out of your way to be wacky and weird and do, but I'm just saying listen to the voice of God and do whatever it takes to get them to Jesus. Even if you have to turn off the proverbial roof, whatever that means for you, you got to do it, whatever it takes. Embracing the inconvenience. Go on an adventure of faith. And I think that that's what we need to get as the people of God. We need to get that spirit of adventure back in our lives. Come on, fellas. You know what? Let's tear the roof off. And Jesus is standing there. Now, point number 52, I want to just teach you about the principles of healing. And then suddenly, halfway through the anointed sermon, concrete and bricks begin to fall. And then this man suddenly appears. Hiya! It's bizarre, right? But they caught Jesus' attention, that's for sure. And I want to really encourage you today to embrace the inconvenience, even if it costs you, just do it anyway. Number four, I'm nearly through. Number four. You need some crazy friends who catch God's attention. Look at verse 5, Mark chapter 2, verse 5. Look at what it says. When Jesus saw their faith, look at that. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. But it's that first part there, when Jesus saw their faith. You know that faith catches God's attention. And persistent faith, especially, that refuses to quit, that refuses to give up, that really catches God's attention. And that's the kind of friends that all of us need, a nominal faith that just turns up to church on a Sunday morning and then goes off into everyday life and does my own thing and then I'll come back next Sunday. I mean, that's all well and good, but it's not going to make a difference. There's got to be a bit more to it than that. I've been teaching our own church this, that Sunday church, and then you've got to have Monday in the presence of God and Tuesday in the presence of God. You've got to live your life in the presence of Jesus. And you've got to get around some people who really encourage you and really press through and believe for the miraculous and believe for God to heal and believe for God to do amazing things. So that's the kind of friends all of us need. Okay, here's number five. Are you still with me? We're doing good. You're listening really well. Number five, you need some crazy friends who don't pander to the cynics. Let me read a couple of verses to you. Mark 2, verses 6, 7, and 8. They should also be on the screen. Now, look at this. In the midst of all of this, picture the scene. The man has been lowered down. Jesus is having a conversation with the paralytic man and the teachers of the law. Look at this. I want you to notice what it says. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Don't forget, this was a crowded house. In fact, there wouldn't have been any sitting room. It would have been standing room only, right? So people would have been standing around that house. But the religious people were sitting there. When everybody else is standing, the religious spirit sits there and snarls and sneers and criticizes. Look at this. Thinking to themselves, let's go on to the next one. What does this fellow talk like this? He's blasphemed. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Look at the next verse. For those of you who were here last night, we talked about discernment, right? Immediately, look at that. Jesus knew in his spirit. You can always tell when there's a spirit of cynicism in the house, can't you? You can always tell when there's a cynic around. There's just a vibe. There's an atmosphere that it creates. He knew in his spirit what they were thinking. And I've been teaching my own church this, and I want to encourage all of us today to make sure that we don't pander to the spirit of the world, which is increasingly negative and increasingly cynical. And what God has called us to be are people of faith, right? Well, negativity and faith don't go together. There's no such thing as a negative faith. Faith is always for, not against. And that's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. I was teaching my own church recently about why. A thought struck me recently. Why is it that criticism is always more powerful than encouragement? Think about it. 10 people might come to me at the end of this sermon this morning, and 9 might say, hey, that was great, that was fantastic. And 1 person might say, that was terrible, you were awful, didn't like your message, I didn't like your accent, I didn't like the way you spoke. Now, what do we do as humans? What do? You focus on the one who criticized. Now, why is that? And I've thought about this. The reason why we focus on the one who criticizes is because criticism tends to be an awful lot more incisive than encouragement. Encouragement is general and blunt. That was great. Well done. Fantastic. But the person who didn't like it, I didn't like this because, and it's incisive. And so what we need to do as the people of God is excel in encouragement. If somebody does something good, don't just say, that was great. Tell them why it was great. Be specific about it. Nullify the power of cynicism in the house. And you get a spirit of faith going on and a spirit of encouragement going on. And when you get a spirit of encouragement going on, it makes it easy for us to see more of the miraculous, right? I used to have a piano teacher called Tom Davidson. I studied music back in Ireland, and he was ruthless. You played a wrong note if you're playing Beethoven. You played a wrong note, my gosh, that man would jump down your throat. He was ruthless. I still have the marks in my hands of the cane that he used to beat me into submission. Anyway, he died. That was bad timing there, the way I said that. But he passed away, and he was a great man. Actually, I wanted him to like me, and it never quite. I always felt he didn't like me. Don't think that was right, but he was pretty ruthless on mistakes. Then I got a new piano teacher. Her name was Rita Goldsmith. And as a performer, not nearly as good as Tom Davidson. As a teacher, the best. So I'd be playing Mozart, Beethoven, and and then I'd play a wrong note. And then I did that thing that most students do when they play a wrong note. I would stop and I would go, I messed up. And she would say, no. She would say, that was the most wonderful wrong note I've ever heard. She said, and if you ever play a wrong note, don't ever stop. Make it the most wonderful wrong note that has ever been played. And she changed everything. She wasn't encouraging me to make mistakes. She was encouraging me to have confidence. Yeah. And that's the kind of culture that we need to create in the house. We need a culture of confidence that dares to take some risks and dares to believe God for more of the miraculous. Are we going to make some mistakes along the way? You better believe it. Are we always going to get our prayers right and get it always right? No, that's not going to happen. But we need a culture going on that no matter what happens and no matter what disappointments we have, we're going to keep pressing on and we're going to keep believing for the miraculous. Can you say amen to this today? And I think that that's what God wants for NC4 Church. Don't pander to the cynics. Here's the final point and then we're through. Number 6. You need some crazy friends in your life who dare to see it before anybody else sees it. Now, listen to me real good. I'm going to tell you something. Are you ready? If you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. Is that clear? What's that Irish guy talking about? What's he talking about? If you don't see it in your heart before you see it with your eyes, then you'll never see it with your eyes. You don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. Now, here's the challenge for a lot of us as Christians. We can go through challenges, and then in the midst of our challenges, we see our circumstances, the storms, the problems. And the worst thing that you can have when you're going through a situation like that are friends who are the doom and gloom merchants. Yeah, you're going through a tough time, aren't you? And I think it's going to get worse. Well, God bless you. Thank you for your encouragement. You know what you need when you're going through a tough time? You need some friends like these men who carried their friend, think about it, the inconvenience of it. Their friend's on a stretcher, some kind of stretcher, and they're carrying him to Jesus. That's what you need in your life. You need some people who, when you're down, you need some good friends who'll carry you to Jesus if necessary. Maybe, I don't know, I'm surmising now, but maybe the man who was in the stretcher, maybe he was saying, look guys, I think I want to go home now. Guys, I gotta go home. I gotta go and watch some my favorite TV shows on. Can you bring me back now? Can you bring me home? It's a bit cold out here. No, will you shut up, eh? And sometimes you need some friends in a very diplomatic way who tell you, shut up, we're getting you to Jesus. Are you with me? Yes. Hey guys, look, we've tried. Be quiet. We're gonna get you healed. Yes. Are you with me? Somebody's getting some faith going on here. And you need some friends like that in your life. I thank God for the people in my life who, when I was having a bad day, they didn't feel sorry for me, but they gave me a good Holy Ghost slap. And sometimes that's this provocation that you need. Come on, we're not stopping until we get to Jesus. We're not going to stop until we get to Jesus. We will not stop. And these men, these were great people of faith. And there's a verse 12. He got up. This is what happened at the end. The man gets healed. He walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this before. That is mostly correct. Everyone, but not everyone. This is not true of everyone. Because these men, they did see it. Otherwise, they wouldn't have brought the man to Jesus in the first place. And you see, we've got to have this conviction. We may not understand all the theology of divine healing. We may have some questions about divine healing, and that's okay. We may even have some challenges in that area. But if we'll just have this conviction in our hearts that we just got to get to Jesus, and we'll tear off the roof if necessary, and we're going to get our friend, because once we get our friend to him, that's our job done. We don't need to do anything else. We can't heal. It's not our job to heal. But if we can get him to the healer, it's going to be all right. I think that that's the kind of audacity that God is provoking here at NC4 in Mukunji and also here today. He's provoking us to say, come on, don't stop until you get there. And when you're discouraged on the way, don't stop. Keep going. Go on an adventure of faith. It's a bit like Psalm 23, isn't it? We all love Psalm 23. Well, the first part, we love the first part of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He leads me by green pastures and still waters. Oh, don't you love that? Isn't that great? The contemporary version, he leads me by the Bahamas. Where I wake up each day in blue skies, no snow. It's wonderful. Oh, we love life in the Bahamas. Green pastures, still waters, Ireland. It's great, isn't it, you know? But the next part of Psalm 23 is the part that we're not so fussed about. He leads me by the valley of the shadow of death. Huh? Hello? I think I want to go back to the Bahamas myself. You see, but we missed the point. Because we think that the greatest miracles happen back at the, you know, green pastures and still waters. It's not true. The greatest miracles happen in the valley of the shadow of death. We think it's about death. It's not about death. It's about massive life in the midst of what looks like death. Don't be deceived by your circumstances. Your need is just a miracle in disguise. Oh, cheer up. He prepares a table before me in the presence of just what I think it's, I couldn't get any lower than my enemies see me in the valley of the shadow of death. And they begin to laugh and sneer. And just when it looks like I'm finished, God comes in with a 5-course meal, the finest meal you could possibly imagine. Chick-fil-A and Burger King and McDonald's and everything you can possibly imagine. And Wendy's, I got to mention Wendy's as well. I like that one. And Taco Bell. I like Taco Bell as well. Hey, listen, have some fun along the way. God's good. And you got to have that conviction as well, that journey that you're going through. Don't quit. That's why you shouldn't quit, because God wants to teach you things on that journey, in that process. Teach you good lessons. Lessons that you'll never learn by green pastures and still waters. When you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, that's what you'll learn your greatest lessons about faith. The greatest miracles that I ever experienced in my own life were in the context of masses, when I didn't have any money. When I was serving God in England as an evangelist and I launched out in ministry, I didn't have any money. I was going to quit the ministry because I was so discouraged. Yep, even pastors can get discouraged. And one day I wrote my letter of resignation to the Holy Spirit. I said, I'm off. I'm going to go back to Ireland. I'm going to pursue a music career because I could earn some money doing that. And then as I was feeling sorry for myself, my mind just went back to a meeting that I was at when I was in my youth, when I was in a youth group in Ireland. How many of you know that when you're in a youth group, young people pray the stupidest prayers ever? How many of you know that? And I prayed a ridiculous prayer when I was a kid. And I was in a youth meeting, and I prayed to God with all my passion. And I said, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And I'll commit my life to it. That's a stupid prayer to pray. Because the Holy Ghost is going to take you up on that prayer at some point, right? So there I am, a couple of years into ministry, no money. Right, Lord, I'm going to quit. And it was like the Holy Spirit came into the room, glasses at the end of the nose. You said, on such and such a day, and I quote, whatever you want me to do, it. I'll commit myself to it. And the Holy Spirit said, now I want you to live that. Yeah, but I didn't really mean it. Tough. Now you're going to live it. Yeah, but I was young. I was foolish. Tough. Now, did it get easier? Well, not instantly. It was tough. It was a tough journey, but that's where I learned to believe in the miraculous. So you want to know why I pray for people to believe in healing today? Because I've been broken a million times. That's why. Why do I believe in miracles? Because I've been in a place of brokenness a million times in my life. And God, lastminute.com, shows up. His alarm clock always goes off on time. Be encouraged, church. Be encouraged, Mukunji. Give a cheer, Mukunji. You're going to do good. God is good all the time. Get some crazy friends into your life, and maybe you can be one of those crazy friends to somebody else as well, who will not stop until you get your friend to Jesus.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.